Well, grab your bulletin, which hopefully you got on your way in, and we are going to continue tonight in a series called Down to Earth, where we are looking at some of the parables of Jesus, these stories that Jesus told during his ministry here on earth that we read about in the Gospels. And Jesus, he used parables for multiple reasons. One was to teach the realities of the kingdom of God, which Matt just shared about, the realities of the kingdom of God to people. You see, when Jesus came, he came to start a whole new thing. He came to bring a kingdom that had not yet been on this earth in this way. And so he needed to communicate what this kingdom of God is like to people. And he would use parables to put it in the language of the people that he was living with and doing ministry to. But he also used parables as a form of a reality check, a self-awareness check for the listener. You see, self-awareness is generally understood to be a good thing, right? Like, most people will say that it's positive, that it's necessary for healthy relationships, to succeed in the workplace. Being aware of, seeing accurately both your internal world and your external world are good things. I think most people would agree to that. What's really interesting is most of us think we are self-aware. I haven't met many people who are like, yeah, completely clueless, like lacking self-awareness. I have no clue what's going on inside of me. I have no clue of how people view me, just totally unaware. We all see ourselves as self-aware. We all think that we see ourselves accurately. We also are all very aware of other people's lack of self-awareness, aren't we? Like, do you know anybody who lacks self-awareness? Are they in this room? Just nod at me if they're in this room right now, right? Is it me? Don't tell me. Okay. See, I know for a fact that I see myself accurately, but they, on the other hand, not so much. And isn't that funny? Like, what are the odds that you're the one person in your social circle who sees himself accurately and no one else does? Like, what are the odds that you're the one person in that nutty family that you come from who just happens to be completely self-aware and nobody else is? What are the odds you're the one person in this room right now who is totally self-aware and no one else is? Like, give yourself a round of applause for being the one self-aware person in this room. That was a self-aware test. You guys all failed that one. A 2018 study done by the Harvard Business Review of over 5,000 people found that only 10 to 15% of people actually fit the criteria of being self-aware. However, when asked about it, nearly all of them said, I am in fact self-aware. They all see it. Everyone thinks they are self-aware, but only one out of every 10 people actually are, meaning there's a big gap between reality and how we see ourselves. And tonight we're going to look at in Scripture one of the great self-awareness checks that Jesus gives us. He gives us this parable that's intended to cause us to take a real honest look at our lives and at our hearts with the goals of first understanding reality and then to move forward, to become better and better soil, as Jesus would put it, that we would be able to receive the word of God and to bear fruit far beyond that which we might expect or hope for. And we're going to read in Mark chapter 4, starting in verse 1. It'll be in your bulletins, also on the screen. It says this, and he, Jesus, began to teach by the sea, and a very large crowd gathered around him. So he got into a boat on the sea and sat down, while the whole crowd was by the sea on the shore. He taught them many things in parables. And in his teaching, he said to them, listen, underline that word listen, listen. Consider the sower who went out to sow. As he sowed, some seed fell on the path, and the birds came and devoured it. Other seed fell on rocky ground where it didn't have much soil, and it grew up quickly since the soil wasn't deep. When the sun came up, it was scorched, and since it had no root, it withered away. Other seed fell among thorns, and the thorns came up and choked it, and it didn't produce fruit. Still other seed fell on good ground, and it grew up, producing fruit that increased 30, 60, and 100 times. Then he said, let anyone who has ears to hear listen. Underline that other word, listen. I think it's interesting that Jesus begins and ends this parable with the same word, listen. It's that sense I have three children, two of them are toddlers. I do this all the time. Hey, listen. Listen. He has something he wants to say. So Jesus tells the story of a farmer sowing seed. And at this time, it was common for farmers to walk along their fields with these big bags filled with seed, and they would just take handfuls of the seed and would just scatter it everywhere. This wasn't planting seeds in neatly plowed rows. This was scattering seed everywhere. And Jesus says that as the farmer was sowing the seed, it lands on four different types of ground. Some seeds, they fell on the path, hard and trampled down. No chance at all of the seed actually getting in the ground to grow anything. And because it just sat on the surface, it says that birds came and they snatched it away. Other seed lands in rocky soil, just a thin layer of dirt with rocks underneath that never provided the seed a chance to actually sink down roots deep down to help it to grow. So sure, the plant came springing up quickly, but once the sun got on it, because it didn't have roots that could draw nutrients and life that it needed, the sun scorched this thing to death. Other seed fell in quality soil, but that soil had other plants growing in it as well. And those plants were these thorns. And though the plant does its best to grow, the thorns surrounding this plant come up around it and they choke the life out of it. And it never bears the fruit it was intended to bear. Finally, some seed falls on good soil. It's not trampled down. It has deep soil for roots to grow. It's not crowded with all of these other plants competing for the same space. And this seed produces a harvest 30, 60, 100 times what was sown. And after saying this, Jesus is like, this is good stuff, right? Let anybody who has ears to hear it listen to this. I hope you guys get it. And the disciples were like, I don't get it. I just don't get it, Jesus. Look at verse 10. When he was alone, those around him with the 12, they asked him about the parable. They're like, Jesus, you said listen. You did that snap thing that dads do to their toddlers, but I don't get it. I don't understand it. So Jesus says, okay, I will clear this up for you. And he goes on in verse 13. Then he said to them, don't you understand this parable? How then will you understand all of the parables? The sower sows the word. Some are like the word sown on the path. When they hear it, immediately Satan comes and takes away the word sown to them. And others are like seed sown on rocky ground. When they hear the word, immediately they receive it with joy, but they have no root. They are short-lived. When distress or persecution comes because of the word, they immediately fall away. Others are like seed sown among thorns. These are the ones who hear the word, but the worries of this age, the deceitfulness of wealth, and the desire for other things enter in and choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. And those are like seed sown on good ground. Hear the word. Welcome it. And produce fruit 30, 60, 100 times what was sown. And here, Jesus gives all of us tonight the self-awareness test. Because I would be willing to wager that if not all, almost all of us believe we are good soil. Very few people that I meet are like, yep, completely hard-hearted to God, like not willing to let him in at all. Certainly there are some. But most people who are in church, like tonight, you believe yourself to be open and receptive to God. And I would say that you being here shows that in some capacity you are. Few people will say, I'm open to God, but I'm completely shallow about it. Few people would say, I'm open to God, but I live a cluttered and distracted life, and eventually it is going to choke the life out of any relationship that I have with God. Most of us think that we are the good soil that Jesus talks about. But how would we actually know that? Well, let's take this self-awareness test together for the next few moments. And to do so, we're going to look at some characteristics of the good soil Jesus describes by comparing it to the other soil. So characteristics of good soil, you can write this down. Number one, good soil hears and welcomes the word of God. Hears and welcomes the word of God. You know, it's amazing how in our lives today, how accustomed we have become to hearing information, to hearing truth, and doing absolutely nothing with it. No response, no change, no action. I do this all the time in my life. My morning routine is to wake up and to stumble to my kitchen and to begin making coffee for myself. And as I do, I engage with the spy that we've invited into our family. You see, Blake and I were recently gifted an Amazon Echo Alexa thing that's in our house. And she sits in our kitchen and she listens to everything that we say and she judges us and she reports on us and she puts things on our shopping list we didn't ask her to. She's like, "You're out of orange juice." I'm like, "How do you know that?" Like, and every morning I have a conversation with the spy and I say, "Alexa, good morning." And Alexa, she tells me the weather and then she plays a morning news briefing that NPR puts out daily. And I stand there in my kitchen making coffee and I listen to a global news report because I want to be informed about what's going on in the world. But the truth is, and it's a little embarrassing if I'm honest with you guys to admit this, that the news that I hear in the morning, it rarely actually sinks in. Because I'm standing there making coffee and I'm hearing about global conferences of political leaders. And President Trump flew to this country for this global conference. And another tragedy, another natural disaster in this country, in this place. One political group is mad at another political group. And I stand there and I listen to it. And the sad truth is, by the time I'm done making my coffee, I rarely actually remember any of the news that I just heard from this thing. And there's multiple reasons for this. Like, it's not that I don't care about being informed, because I do. I want to be informed. But it's early, Fusion. And I haven't had my coffee yet, because I'm in the process of making it, right? And I, like you, am bombarded all day long with clips and images and podcasts and social media, and so much input happens that most of it never gets close to going beneath the surface of my life. I think oversaturation of information is a big part of this thing. But I think the other real reason that so much information that we get exposed to in our life never goes beneath the surface is because we are never required to respond to it. Wow. We see it, and we move on. We hear it, and we move on. We read about it, and we scroll on over and over and over again. But the word of God is not meant to be that way in our lives, Fusion. The gospel of Jesus was never meant to sit on the surface of your life. The gospel of Jesus was never meant to be scrolled by in your life. See, good soil recognizes that the gospel of Jesus is going to require a response from you. And good soil welcomes that and is excited about any response that the gospel of Jesus may call you to in your life. For you, is the word of God, is the gospel of Jesus just information that comes across your screen once a week here at church, but you never actually respond to it? Or do you recognize that a disciple of Jesus must welcome the word of God and all that it wants to do, all that it wants to grow, all that it wants to change, all that it wants to transform in your life? Is that true of you? Next, number two, good soil is not shallow. Good soil is not shallow. Jesus says that there's a type of soil that really likes and really does genuinely welcome in the word of God, but at some point there comes distress or persecution because of it, and at that point, it's over.
Because the word was never allowed to truly go to the deep places of a person's heart in a person's life. And this is so true. I have seen this over and over and over again. I did youth ministry for years and years. And during that time, I went to more summer camps than I could ever possibly count. And I love summer camp. I believe in camp. I am for camp. But the pattern and the cycle is a little bit predictable. There's a kid who goes to camp and has a great time at camp and says yes to Jesus and worships Jesus, is excited about Jesus. The gospel has been welcomed into their life, but the word is never allowed to truly form roots in their lives for various reasons. Choices on their part because a pastor didn't actually walk them through that, whatever it might be. The word is never allowed to actually grow roots down into their lives. And within a few weeks or months, distress arrives. You mean to tell me that following Jesus means I actually have to change something in my life? You mean that following Jesus means I have to say no to certain things in my life? That I have to start saying yes to certain things in my life? You mean to tell me that Jesus wants to change me? Because I've been told everywhere I look that I am perfect as I am. And this whole be transformed thing, it doesn't really work for me anymore. Or some form of persecution arrives. Certainly persecution at the time of Jesus meant something very different than it means today. But at the same time, you have to know that being a committed follower of Jesus in 2019 is going to come with some form of persecution, social persecution, judgment of some kind, assumptions, and being grouped in with communities of people that may not actually reflect your values or what you uphold. So the student, they're mocked by friends or by family. The student is socially judged because of the values that they find in Scripture and they're trying to live out in their lives. And the kid who was so passionately worshiping Jesus at summer camp and at youth group in the weeks that followed suddenly disappears off the face of the earth. Doesn't show up, doesn't return phone calls or texts. They're just gone. And the seed that sprang up and was so energetic and excited, but roots were never formed, has suddenly been scorched out. Fusion, can I tell you that this isn't just true for high school students? Yeah. It's true. It can be true for all of us. I've seen this with children. I've seen this with students. I've seen this with young adults. I've seen this with older people. It can be true for any of us. Are you soil that goes deep? Are you the kind of soil that will allow the word of God to grow deep roots in every part of your life? And here's how you can tell. Are you willing to allow the word of God deep enough access in your life to change any part of your life? How deep in your life are you actually willing to let God's word go and change? Deep enough to impact your finances? Deep enough to impact your sexuality? Deep enough to impact your politics or how you speak about politics to other people? Deep enough to impact your view of other people, of other races? Deep enough to impact what you watch, what you drink, what you smoke, and the list goes on and on? Or are there places in your life you have already decided God's word does not get to impact? Because if that's true, you've determined the depth of your soil. You've already set the limit. You've already decided how deep God's word gets to go because you say you can go this deep, but you can't go past this place, God, because everything beneath this, this is mine. This is mine. Your word isn't welcomed in this place. Jesus warns us against this in verse 17. He says, this soil, these people, they have no root, and because of that, they fell away. See, Jesus says that good soil, it allows the word of God to go as deep into your life as it wants to go. And by the way, Fusion, that is to the core. There is no part of your life the word of God does not want to impact. There is no part of your life the Word of God does not want to bring healing to. There is no part of your life the Word of God does not want to change and redeem and bring fruit from and bring life to. The question is, are you willing to let God have access to that place? Are you willing to be the soil that says, God, as deep in me as you want to go, to the depths of who I am, every part of me is open to you. Every part of me is open to your word and what you want to do. And it's so important that we do that, because the reality is there will be days under a hot sun. You see, plants in the good soil that produce fruit experience the same sun as plants in the rocky soil. The sun is consistent in both of those things. We all experience distress of some kind. We will all experience persecution of some kind as we seek to live out our faith and live out God's word and God's values in this world. The question is, have you allowed God's word to go deep in your life? See, the depth of your roots will determine the life that is produced in you. The depths of your roots will determine the life that is produced in you. I want to encourage you, Fusion, to allow the Word of God to go deep into your life, into the depths of who you are, of how you understand yourself, of how you live your life. Let's let the Word of God put roots deep down in us, because when that's true, we never have to fear the sun scorching us out. Number three, good soil is focused. Good soil is focused. Jesus goes on to describe a third soil, which seems like it's good, deep soil, and it's able to sustain life and growth, but there's a problem. The seed of the Word of God is not alone in this soil. See, in addition to the seed are also thorns. And he says that these thorns are the worries of this age and the deceitfulness of wealth. And I just love that language, deceitfulness of wealth. Like, isn't that true? Aren't money and wealth just so deceitful? Money always presents this promise, this hope, that if you just get to a certain point and achieve a certain level of it, you will be satisfied and that will be enough for you. But most of you know, like I do, that's not true. Money is one of those weird things where the more of it you have, the more of it you want, right? And if we're not careful, the pursuit of that will become the focus of our lives. See, whether you are rich or whether you are not yet rich, but you hope and plan to be someday, it is so easy to allow the pursuit of wealth to be the focus of your life. We live in Los Angeles, the epicenter of promoting wealth and riches as this status to be strived for and worked for and hopefully achieved. We live in an era where just about anybody can become wealthy beyond imagination. If they have the right social media presence or land that one acting gig they're just waiting on. We hear it every time we turn on our TV, every time we open our computer, every time we open our phone, we hear the same message: you should want this too. And if you're rich, it's so easy to have the focus of your life to become staying rich and getting richer. And if you're not rich, it's so easy to have the focus of your life to become rich. And Jesus tells us that the focus of wealth will choke out what the gospel wants to do in your life. Because the reality is, the gospel of Jesus is going to call you to some things that the pursuit of wealth may disagree with. Like putting others before yourself. Like being a servant to others. Like caring for and giving to the poor. Like trusting in God alone and not in your wealth. What Jesus seems to be saying here, among other things, is to be very careful with your pursuit of wealth, because it will deceive you and it will leave your life filled with thorns and not give you the fruitful harvest that Jesus desires for you to have in your life. Finally, number four, good soil has fruit to show for it. And Alex, you can join me up here.
The ultimate test of good soil is what is produced from this soil. At the time when Jesus shared this parable, farmers would say that a harvest of 10 times what was planted is an incredible harvest, a mind-blowing harvest. 10 times is just mind-blowing for a farmer. Jesus tells us that the Word of God will produce harvests of 30, 60, and 100 times what was planted, meaning Jesus is always going to surpass the expectations that we set. He's always going to do more than we think he will do. And listen, I don't want you to get hung up on whether you in your life have the harvest of 30, 60, or 100. What I want you to ask yourself is this: do I see any fruit from the Word of God in my life? Is there any evidence of God's Word in my life that I can point to right now in this moment? Am I pursuing the things of God while learning to say no to the things that distract me from it? Am I serving others in Jesus' name more than I was before? Am I growing in generosity to others? Have I led anybody from my life into a relationship with Jesus? Am I discipling even a single person in their walk with Jesus? And I think many in this room, you will answer yes to many, most, or even all of those questions. I just want to say, well done. Keep pursuing Jesus and the harvest that he has for you. But for those who, after walking through the self-awareness test together with us tonight, maybe you realize, I might not be as good a soil as I thought I was. First of all, can I just say that that actually is all of us? That everybody in this room, we have room to grow in this. We can all be better soil than we are. We can all pursue the things of Jesus even more in our lives. It's certainly true of me. And here is some hope. When you look at these soils, there's a progression that can be found in these four soils. You see, these soils become more and more receptive to the Word of God as the parable goes on. And it starts with indifference, couldn't care less. But then it goes to opportunistic. Yeah, man, I heard it and I'm excited about it. Then it goes to very interested but distracted, to eventually becoming fully committed and accepting. It moves towards more and more commitment to Jesus. And Fusion, that can be true for every single one of us as well. Wherever you find yourself, whatever kind of soil you might recognize yourself to be, you can move more toward becoming the good soil that Jesus teaches about in this parable. And I believe that's his will, his hope, and his plan for every single one of us. Would you guys stand with me as we prepare to worship together and end our time in this room and head across the street? Would you guys bow your heads and close your eyes with me? I just want to give you a moment to reflect, to take this self-awareness test. Lord, would you even now just open our eyes to the kind of soil that we might be, to anything in our lives that is distracting us, pulling us away from you? Infusion, even now as you're standing and reflecting, I want to invite you. Would you pray that God would help you to become good soil? Maybe do you need to receive the Word of God, the gospel of Jesus, for the first time? You can do that right now in this moment by simply praying this prayer that says, Jesus, I recognize that I am a sinner in need of rescue. Thank you that you came and died on the cross for me. Would you save me? Would you redeem me? And would you use my life? You can say that prayer right now and receive the Word of God in this moment. Do you need to allow the gospel of Jesus to go deep in your life, allowing its roots to take hold of all of the places in your heart and life? Is there anything that the Holy Spirit is revealing in you right now as a place where you have actually decided you're not allowing God's word to impact? Lord, as you reveal them to us right now, bring them to mind right now, not out of guilt, not out of condemnation, but for the freedom that you want us to walk in, Jesus. If there's anything coming to mind right now, Fusion, I want you to offer that to Jesus now in this moment.
Do you need to refocus yourself on the gospel of Jesus, away from the worries of the world, the deceitfulness of wealth, to recenter, reorient your lives around the gospel and the good news of Jesus? And finally, Lord, we just ask that you would produce whatever harvest in our lives you desire. We are open, we are willing, we desire to be good soil, so would you create that harvest in our lives, we pray. And as we do, as this harvest is produced, Jesus, we promise to give you all of the glory and all of the praise because you are worthy of all of it. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Alex, will you lead us?